بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله الحمد لله رب العالمين نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهدي الله فلا مضل له فمن يضلل فلا هادي له نشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد يا أيها الذين آمنوا يقول الله عز وجل في القرآن الكريم أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم يريد الله بكم اليسر ولا يريد بكم العسر وقال رسول الله صلى الله تعالى عليه وسلم في الحديث ويسروا ولا تعسروا وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إن حد الدين يسر. We praise Allah the Almighty. We bear witness that there is nothing worthy of worship besides Allah the Almighty. And we bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is Allah's messenger and his servant. We seek refuge with Allah from the weakness of our own selves. We bear witness that whomever Allah guides cannot be misguided, and whomever Allah allows to be in error cannot be guided aright. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to send his blessings upon his messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, upon his family and upon his companions and all the Muslims everywhere. Ameen. My dear brothers and sisters, the theme of today's khutbah is taken from the Quran. And Allah, he says in the Quran, يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ بِكُمُ الْيُسْرِ وَلَا يُرِيدُ بِكُمُ الْعُسْرِ. Allah desires for you ease. He doesn't desire for you difficulty. And said the messenger of Allah Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam, yassiru wa la tu'assiru, make things easy for the people and do not make things difficult. وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إن هذا الدين يسر. Verily, this religion is easy. يسروا ولا تعسروا, make things easy, do not make things difficult. Why? Inna hadha din yusra, this religion is easy. Why? Because Allah, the Lord of the world, says, "Yuridu Allahu bikumul yusr, wa la yuridu bikumul usra." Allah desires for you ease; He does not desire for you difficulty. I'm giving this khutbah to make two points today. The first point, this verse from the Quran and these two hadith that I have recited should not be used as a license to disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the second point, I say to myself as the imam and my fellow imams and the leaders of the Muslims all over, the Muslims in this masjid, those in security, those in different parts of the treasury, do not make this deen difficult for the people. Make it easy for them. To explain the ayat from the Quran, يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ بِكُمُ الْيُسْرَ وَلَا يُرِيدُ بِكُمُ الْعُسْرَ. Allah desires for you ease, He doesn't desire for you difficulty. So the second part of the hadith of this, of my intention for today's khutbah is to explain that ayat from the hadith, from the Quran and the hadith, not to make the religion difficult. Brothers and sisters, I would like to first give you some news if you haven't heard by now. Last week it appeared in one of the newspapers. Alhamdulillah, I've gotten it confirmed. And let me just read what appeared in last week's newspaper in the Newsday. I quote, Islamic law adopted. Pakistan's parliament yesterday passed a measure that would make the Quran the supreme law of the land and subject all aspects of life to Islamic tenets. Alhamdulillah. Every Muslim should be more than happy, ecstatic. Liberal intellectuals fear the new system of law called Al-Sharia will hurl the impoverished nation of 120 million Muslims back into the Middle Ages. Islamic clerics dismiss the fears as a product of ignorance of Islam. Alhamdulillah. The law will govern Pakistan life from social morass to education and the economy. It will frame laws in line with the Quran, the Muslim holy book, and the Sunnah, the collection of the teachings of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is good news for us. Sudan, now Pakistan, I have heard, not yet confirmed, that in Yemen, about to establish the Sharia, Al-Quran and Sunnah. All over the world, Muslims trying to establish the Quran and the Sunnah. And this is what the Muslims in America are trying to do, to establish Al-Quran and the Sunnah. And brothers and sisters, this article that appeared in the newspaper brings me to our khutbah for today. Let's take the verse in the Quran. يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ بِكُمُ الْيُسْرُ. Allah wants, He desires for you al-yusr, ease. وَلَا يُرِيدُ بِكُمْ الْعُسْرِ. He doesn't desire for you difficulty. Let me first tell you what this verse doesn't mean. There are some Muslims who will tell you that if you try to establish prayer 5 times a day, it's being extreme. Yes, we had a Muslim who told us, brother, you're an extremist if you make salat 5 times a day. A'udhu billahi min dhalik. Some would say to fast the entire month of Ramadan, it's too difficult for you. Fast what you can. Why? They quote from the Quran, Allah desires for you ease. He doesn't desire for you difficulty. Some would even say, Imam Siraj, he came on the minbar 2 weeks ago, and he said in 1991, you should stop paying interest. Imam Siraj, he doesn't know these are modern times, and they quote from the ayah from Quran, يُرِيدُ اللَّهَ بِكُمَ يُسْرَ. Allah desires for you ease, doesn't desire for you difficulty. Brothers and sisters, these people are using the verses from the Quran and the hadith of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam for their own whim. In reality, they don't obey Allah, they go against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And brothers and sisters, I'm going to make a prediction. It is not something that I want to happen, but it is something that I believe is going to happen. And before I say it, I start by saying, A'udhu Billah. A'udhu Billah min ash-shaytan rajim. I believe that one day in America, it's going to come a time that they're going to have a masjid and it's going to be called the Muslim Mosque of Gay and Lesbians. A'udhu Billah min dhalik. You say, Brother Imam Siraj, how can you make such a prediction? I make this prediction based on the words of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And what did he say? He said, you, Muslim, will follow the people that came before you, step by step and inch by inch, so that even if they crawled in the hole of a lizard, you would fall right behind them. And they said, oh, Messenger of Allah, do you mean the Christians and the Jews? He said, yes, I mean the Christians and the Jews. The Presbyterian Church leadership just came out with a report that told their followers, because of the modern time, it is okay for your youngsters to commit fornication and people to engage in homosexuality. These are the leaders of the church. Everything goes in the Christian church. Everything goes in the Christian church. They have priests that are homosexual. They have priests that are lesbians in the church. Everything that's done in the street is done in the church, in the name of it being modern. Not only that, I had a meeting once with some lawyers. Among the lawyers were some Jewish lawyers. And we stopped after working so many hours. We stopped to eat lunch. Now the Muslims there, it happened to be a Wednesday, a Monday or Thursday, I couldn't remember, but I know all of us were fasting, so we didn't eat. But can you imagine a Jew sitting down eating a ham sandwich, eating pork, and call himself Jew? Why? Because when you see a Jew, you must ask him, what is he? Is he Orthodox? Or is he conservative? Or is he Reformed? A Reformed Jew means you can do whatever you want to do. And brothers and sisters, we have now Reformed Muslims already. And the only thing that they haven't done, they haven't yet named their masjid. The Muslim Mosque of Gays and Lesbians. I pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that such a thing will never happen. But brothers and sisters, I warn you, don't take this verse out of context. Allah desires for you ease. He doesn't desire for you difficulty. Allah desires for you Jannah. He doesn't desire for you hellfire. But if you continue to disobey Allah and use His own words and the hadith to go against Allah because of your ignorance and your weakness, then brothers and sisters, I warn you that we are in danger of the hellfire. Now brothers and sisters, in my conclusion, if I have never taught anything from this khutbah or this minbar, I've always taught you this. Whenever you read the Quran, you must always read the Quran in context. You can't just take some phrases from the Quran and say, يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ بِكُمُ الْيُسْرَ وَلَا يُرِيدُ بِكُمُ الْأُسْرَ. Allah desires for you ease, He doesn't desire for you difficulty, because that statement is not an absolute statement. That statement is a relative statement based on the context of the Quran. And if you want to understand what Allah meant, then you must read it in context. What did Allah say before that? And then it becomes crystal clear what Allah means. Now what's the context of this verse? And now for now on, anytime you hear this verse, inshallah, you will know the context of it, and you will be able to correct those Muslims who come to mislead you. Where did this verse come from? It starts like this. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا كتب عليكم الصيام. All you who believe, fasting is prescribed for you, even as it was prescribed for those who came before you, that you may develop taqwa. And further on, Allah says, وَمَنْ كَانَ مَرِيدًا أَوْ عَلَى سَفَرٍ فَعِدَّةٌ مِّنْ أَيَّامٍ أُخَرٍ يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ بِكُمُ الْيُسْرَ وَلَا يُرِيدُ بِكُمُ الْعُسْرَ. Those of you who are sick or traveling on a journey should make it up days later. Why? Allah desires for you ease. He doesn't desire for you difficulty. So the context of this verse is, don't go sick and you say, oh, I'm so sick, I'm dying, but I must keep this fast. No! There's no obligation to keep the fast if you're sick. I'm traveling, it's difficult for me, but I'm going to be a hero, I'm going to fast. No! You don't have to fast. Allah said, make it up days later. Because He doesn't desire for you difficulty, He desires for you ease. So the context of this verse means follow, obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but when Allah allows for you His mercy, accept His mercy. يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ بِكُمُ الْيُسْرَ وَلَا يُرِيدُ بِكُمُ الْعُسْرَ. Allah desires for you ease. He doesn't desire for you difficulty. وَالْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى صحبه أجمعين أما بعد My dear brothers and sisters, brothers from the Treasury Department, brothers from the security department, I say to you as the imam of this masjid, what Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, yasiru wa la ta'asiru. Make things easy and do not make things difficult. Now brothers and sisters, there's two things I want to tell you, bring to your attention. You know, I have gone around the country, especially, and everywhere I go, especially speaking to non-Muslims, I let them know that I'm very proud of what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made me, meaning my skin color, my nose, my texture of my hair. And brothers and sisters, it's very important that we have in this community here, alhamdulillah, Muslims from all over the world. Different skin complexions, different textures of hair, different colors of eyes, and all of these things. These things with us are incidental. Alhamdulillah, we love each other for deen. And this is the most important thing. So every one of you should never be ashamed of what you are. Because on the day of judgment, brother, I don't care how dark you are, you will get no credit for Allah because of your dark skin. He made you dark. And I don't care how white your skin is, you will get no demerits from Allah because of the whiteness of your skin, for Allah created you in the wombs of your mother. So don't get hung up in this. That's not our conversation. These are other people's conversations. But yet we have people among us who are sick. An example that I have given, brothers and sisters, is my... And the reason I give you as an example, not to pick on him. I pray Allah guide him. But anytime you have a man who spends money to change the shape of his nose, the complexion of his skin, the shape of his jaw, to change his voice, these things, brothers and sisters, are bad. Even the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam condemned a woman for wearing a false wig. false hair, a wig. You don't even wear a wig. Even a woman, her head was bald. She had no hair. And her mother said, her husband said, okay, you can wear a wig. But the mother said, no, I want to ask Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because I heard him curse the woman who wears a wig. And sisters, that include extensions in your hair. And the mother told the Prophet, can she wear this wig? She has no hair. He said, no. So you don't even put on a false hair. Now what do you look like changing your complexion, brother? If you are jet black, love your jet blackness, because Allah shaped you in the wombs of your mother. If your hair is kinky, love your kinky hair. What are you trying to put all that chemicals in your hair to change your hair to make you look like somebody else, make your hair look slick? You look foolish. So Michael Jackson, he spent all his money to change himself. Someone needs to talk to him. And if I get an address, I'm going to write him, or maybe go visit him, if he will allow me. Maybe if I was a mannequin, he'll allow me to come. I would be left. But brothers and sisters, when you hear something, I'm going to tell you something now, I'm very pathetic. As bad as that sounds, Michael Jackson doing that. There are people all over this country are called Michael Jackson lookalikes. And all they try to do is look like Michael Jackson. Many of them, not a few, many of them. And all over this country, anytime you have a star, you have other people trying to be like them, to imitate them, to emulate them, to look like them, to dance like them, to talk like them, to walk like them. Madonna. Foolish women trying to look like Madonna. As misguided as that woman is, can you imagine people worshiping that woman? There's a young man who admitted he spent over $50,000 having operations to look like Michael Jackson. If you want to imitate somebody, imitate Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And believe me, we don't try to look like the face of Prophet Muhammad, and I'm glad I don't know what it looked like, he looked like. But we try to imitate his character and his personality. Allah don't want all of us looking like exactly like Prophet Muhammad. That's not what Allah had in mind. Allah wants us to obey and to follow the messenger of Allah, because he represents a good character for us and a good example for us. I don't want to look like him. Allah made me the way he made. He made me Siraj Wahaj. This is it. Be pleased with ever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made you. And the most important thing, brothers and sisters, Allah made you Muslim. And you be that. Now, I wanted to begin the second part of this khutbah, bringing to your attention, brothers and sisters, you have to read. Yes, read Quran. Yes, read Hadith. Yes. After Quran and Hadith, you must read what's going on in your neighborhood, what's going on in the country, what's going on in the world. I have recommended to this community in many years, if you don't want to read the newspapers every day, at least once a week, buy some newspaper like the Times and read the weekly review. Because brothers and sisters, you'll be surprised what you find in these newspapers. And I'm just going to give you a little glimpse of what appeared last week in the newspaper. Brother Ali, our security man, is going to make copies. And whoever wants a copy, the security has to get a copy. Everyone from security must get a copy of this article. And anyone else who wants a copy, inshallah, I see the chief of security. But let's tell you in one sentence or two sentences. The headline is, Bush chooses Gates to head the CIA. Who's Gates? What's his history? The task: flip spies into the new world order. Brothers and sisters, this country, the United States of America, have an intelligence division. They spend every year, listen to the figures, $30 billion to collect intelligence information to spy. This article maintains that since the Cold War is over, all the money that the United States government spent in the Soviet Union and all the Warsaw Pact countries, communist countries, all that money now is available. And the question that they raise and the question that they now talk about in the secret chambers is, where are we going to send all of these spies? Where are we going to spend all of this money? Might I suggest to you where they're going to spend this money? They're going to spend it in Pakistan. They're going to spend it in the Sudan. They're going to spend it in Yemen. They're going to spend it in Afghanistan. They're going to spend it in Libya. They're going to spend it in any Muslim country or any place where they're developing Islam. Belgium, a European country, right now, 1 out of 10 people in that country Muslim. Millions of Muslims now in Great Britain. I met a German on a plane on the way to Sudan, a native German, and he said to me, "Assalamu alaikum." He's not only Muslim, he's Imam. Brothers and sisters, I'm telling you, unemotionally, the number one threat of United States government and the Western world is Islam. And not only will they send spies in Pakistan and Sudan and all the Muslim countries, they will send spies and have sent spies in Masjid al-Taqwa. They're here right now. In Mu'mineen, in Muqsi Khalifa, in Masjid Ikhwa, Masjid Farouk have plenty of them now. Right now, there's spies here, right now. To do what? To help you to establish Islam? No. To discredit you and, brothers and sisters, to divide the ranks of the Muslims. All you have to do is study their history. History is always the same. Divide and conquer. And brothers and sisters, let me tell you the one thing. The Western world right now is on its last legs. It's about to fall. All you have to do is blow on it, and it's going to crumble. And the only ones that can help this world, wallahi, is Allah and the Muslims. The only ones. Why do I say that? Because if you study, brothers and sisters, study every revolutionary group, every movement in this country, in this city, and you will find all of them doing the same thing. What is it? They go after issues rather than going at the heart of the matter. And the Muslims are the only ones who go at the heart of the matter. And if you follow these people, brothers and sisters, in the street, you know what they do? They'll lead you from one issue to another issue to another issue to another issue, and they'll never solve the problem. Believe me, the problem is one. La ilaha illallah Muhammadar Rasulullah. Solve that and you solve all the other problems automatically. Now, brothers and sisters, that brings me to my conclusion of why I said that in this second part of the khutbah. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam warned the imams, warned the leaders. I'm warning the head of security and the treasury department and anybody that works in this community. I'm telling you what Prophet Muhammad said. And brother, if you're going to work on my staff here in this community, you must obey this. وَيَسِرُوا وَلَا تَعَسِرُوا. Make things easy for the people. Do not make things difficult for the people. I want those in staff here to be the sweetest, to be the kindest, to show the most mercy. Those in leadership position must be the most understanding. I'll give you one example. One night, a group of us, we had gone to a program. We come back to the masjid late. But about 5 or 6 of us. So when we came in, maybe it was 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock, midnight, real late. Locked the door. And so we made our salat to Isha. And while we were making salat, somebody was knocking at the door. And they kept knocking. And they kept knocking at the door while we were making salat. And so, I felt anxious. The reason I felt anxious, I assumed that there was some Muslim coming in to make salat. So I felt anxious. Like, you know, when you're making prayer and somebody rings the phone or somebody knocks at the door, you feel a little anxious. So I felt a little anxious for the brother. And so when the prayer was over, one of the brothers, he jumped up, he went to the door, he said, "Brother, why are you knocking on the door? Why are you remaking prayer? You gotta wait. Why are you knocking on the door? You can't come here. No, it's closed." I said, "Brother, no. Let the brother come, bro. I'm sorry, brother. Come on in. You want to make salat?" "Yes, Imam, I wanted to make salat." "No problem, brother. Come in." Now, I'm not saying it's to condemn the brother, but you don't have to be so difficult, so hard. The man, he didn't know. I said he probably thought we were in the back, he couldn't hear us, so he wanted to knock to make sure. If he knew we were making prayer, I'm sure he would have been patient and waited. To have any leadership in this community, I expect for you to be the most polite and the kindest. I don't want you yelling at each other all the time. Brothers and sisters, we have too much yelling in this community. We yell at each other. We spit on each other almost. You don't hear me putting down brothers and sisters. I may take somebody in the basement or threaten to take somebody in the basement. But brothers and sisters, I want to see better in this community. Now, I'm going to close with this. You have heard one of the great Sahaba, Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, very famous companion of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Let me tell you what he said. He said, "One day I saw the Messenger of Allah furious, more furious than he had ever been before." The Prophet was angry. He said, Ibn Mas'ud, a great companion, "I have never seen him more angry than I did on that day." Why? Did somebody murder somebody? No. Did somebody commit adultery? No. Was it because somebody stole? No. Why? Can I tell you why? Listen to this, brothers and sisters, in my conclusion. And I say this to say the second part of this khutbah. I want to remind you, وَيَسِرُوا وَلَا تَعَسِرُوا, make things easy for the people and do not make things difficult. إِنَّ حَذَا الدِّينَ يُسْرَ, verily this religion is easy. Now listen to this. A man came and said to the Messenger of Allah Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, "O Allah's apostle, I keep away from the Fajr Salat. I keep away from the morning Salat. I keep away because so and so," he didn't want to say the name of the person, the Imam who led the Salat, "because so and so, he prolongs the salat too much." Allah's Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam became furious, and I, Ibn Mas'ud, Abu Mas'ud, said, "I had never seen him more furious than he was on that day." The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "O people, some of you make others dislike the prayer. So whoever becomes the Imam, he should shorten the prayer, as those behind him are weak, old, and needy." And one other hadith said, "Busy." One day, brothers and sisters, I had called the masjid and said I was on the way in the masjid with Salatul Dhuhr. I'm going to be 5 minutes late. Hold the Iqamah until I get there. And when I came, maybe some of the brothers were a little anxious. And I realized why. Because if we put on this board salat at a certain time, there are brothers who work, who only come here to make salat, to make their salat and go. They don't want to wait around because why? They're busy. They're not bad Muslims.
They're good Muslims. The fact is they came here to make the salat, and maybe the imam, he delays it too much. They're anxious because they have to get back, and they only come here to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They want to make the salat in congregation. So the imam should be conscious of this. Make the salat and let the people go. So the Prophet became furious. Why? Because we became extremists. And brothers and sisters, I say this to you, some of us become extremists in religion. And you don't have to guess what this extremism is. The Prophet gives you many examples. Brother, you want to make salat at night, is good. The Prophet said the best salat after salat that is mandatory is salatul layl. Salat at night, to get up at night. And the Prophet said, as long as you're praying by yourself, pray as long as you want. But even that should be relative. Because, brother, the Prophet said, I am the best of Allah. I fear Allah more than you fear Allah. And I know Allah more than you. I pray at night and I sleep. One man said, I'm never going to get married. Dedicate my whole life to Islam. You a fool. You an extremist. He said, I am the best of Allah to you. I worship Allah more than you. Yet I marry. And marriage is part of my sunnah. And whoever goes away from my sunnah is not of me. I am married. So you get married. And don't think that you are righteous because you stayed away from marriage. Some of you brothers been single too long. I have to start talking to you. Get married. You need to get married. Too tight. Marriage loosens you up. Yes, it does. You're tight. You need to get married. This is the Prophet's sunnah. So brothers and sisters, don't be extreme. Don't fast every day. No. The extreme most you could do is the fast of David. There's no better fast than the fast of David. He fasted once every other day. He fasted, he broke his fast. He fasted, he broke his fast. Like that. So don't be extreme. Why? The Prophet said, your wives have rights over you. So now all of a sudden you're going to pray all night, and your wife is waiting for you to come to join her and sleep, and you refuse because you pray all night. This is wrong. Your wife has rights over you. You can't say, I'm going on the path for 6 months. I'm going out the country for 6 and 7 months. And my wife and my children don't see me. Your wife and your children have rights over you. You're not so pious that you should stay away from your family so long. This is not what the Prophet did. He went out for jihad and he came back. And all of this that you do is wrong, and to go out and stay away from your family for so long a time is wrong. You're an extremist. No. يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ بِكُمُ الْيُسْرَ وَلَا يُرِيدُ بِكُمُ الْعُسْرَ. Allah designs for you ease and not difficulty within the boundaries. وَتِلْكَ حُدُودُ اللَّهِ لَا تَعْدَدُوهَا. And these are the boundaries of Allah. Don't go past them. Fine, brother, you want to get married, but just remember the boundaries. Marry the woman and sleep with her every night, but not during the days of Ramadan. Not during the menses. Obey Allah. But everything within the boundaries, do as you will. So brothers and sisters, I say to you, I leave you with this from the words of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is our conclusion. And brothers and sisters, you know something? Everybody has to know the passing grade. In school, what pass? What's the passing grade? 65? I want to know the passing grade. Because brothers and sisters, you don't want to fail. Might I end this khutbah by telling you what the passing grade is? The passing grade is not what some of these people suggest. They look at you. Brothers and sisters, believe me, the enemies of Islam right now are in every masjid. And you know what they're trying to do? While the Muslims in New York City are coming together to form a Majlis Shura, to consolidate the ranks, while the Imam of Masjid al-Taqwa is trying to do the same thing in every city. There are some people being instigated by, right in their ranks, an agent who take what they consider sincere people to use those sincere people to break the ranks and to divide the ranks. Believe me, some people, you will see them. Let me be honest with you, brothers and sisters. The imam of this masjid is well respected around the world and around the country as a fact of life. And you would think that someone would build on that respect. But yet there are some people who would try to break down and to destroy the credibility that's been built up. Why? Because somewhere along the line, Shaitan and the agent is trying to divide the community. For instance, brothers and sisters, I never told you that I was a faqih. I never told you that I was a religious scholar. I'm not a scholar. I'm a student. I study. I study a lot. I read. I study. I ask questions. I go to seminars, but I'm not a scholar. So if you find somewhere in the masjid, you look and you see the corner somewhere, oh, there's something wrong. Well, why not go to the imam and say, "Brother Imam, I was in the masjid and I saw something wrong." Why would you now go to other people and say, "Yeah, I was in Masjid al-Taqwa and you should have seen the corner. What was in the corner was bid'ah." Maybe it was, but please, for God's sake, bring it to my attention. Why don't you bring it to my attention? Because you don't want to correct. You want to divide. You want to sneak around. So yeah, look at this, look at some evil, why would you do that? The imam is trying to go over the world, trying to unite the Muslims. You come in his own masjid, trying to divide his community. You ought to tell him, say, "Brother, did you tell the imam? Come on, I know the imam, he's a reasonable brother. Let's take it to the imam." But they won't do that. Why? Because behind them is some agent who desires to break up the community. Can't you see that? And you know what? They'll take best friends and split you. Used to be best friends. All of a sudden. And brothers and sisters, they who know me, when we left the community years ago, before I left, documented. I sent letters to the imam. "Imam, I don't understand this. Imam, I went to the imam. I talked to him eyeball to eyeball. And when I found out that I couldn't live anymore, not under those teachings as I understood it, I respectfully, publicly resigned and I left." And I left. Why don't you do the same thing for your own brothers? Because Shaitan, an agent, is there with you. No excuse. There's no excuse. And you can never say you brought it to the attention of the imam. Why? Because an agent wants to block and destroy the unity of the Muslims. I want to know, what's the passing grade? Did I pass? On the day of judgment, I want to know, did I pass? If we go to Jannah, we passed. If we go to hell, we lost. This hadith closes the khutbah. One day the sahaba were around the messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and they saw a Bedouin coming from the distance, and he was shouting, but they couldn't make out the words, what he was saying. But when they got close, they understood that the man was asking about Islam. And so the Prophet said, "Khamsu salawati fi yomi wa layla." He said, "Five prayers every day." And then the man said, he says, "Hal alayya, is it incumbent upon me more ghayruhunna? Hal alayya ala ghayruhunna? Is it incumbent upon me more than five prayers?" The Prophet said, "La, illa an tatawwa'a, except that you do extra." What's the mandatory? Five prayers a day. I didn't get up in the middle of the night. All right, don't condemn me. Encourage me. But what's mandatory? What's passing? 5 prayers a day. I did it. I made my 5 prayers a day. I did it. I'm past. Then the prophet said, he says, Siyam, fasting. Fasting on the month of Ramadan. He said, is it incumbent upon me anymore? Prophet said, La illa anta tawa'a, except that which you do extra. Must I fast Monday and Thursdays? No. If you see me eat Monday, you're going to condemn me? Prophet didn't say you have to fast on Mondays and Thursdays. It's extra. I want to pass first. And if I pass first, I get the reward, al-Jannah. Then the Prophet said, he mentioned to him, وَذَكَرَ لَهُ الزَّكَاةِ. He mentioned him to zakat. The man said, is there upon me anything more than the zakat? He said, no, la illa anta tawa, except what you do, which is extra voluntary. And then listen to what the man said. I close with this. SubhanAllah. I love the word so much, I want to quote what he said. And listen to what the man said. When he asked the Prophet, was there any more on me? The Prophet said, no, except for what's extra. The man says, Wallahi, I swear by Allah, La ridu ala hadha wa la ankusu. I will not increase what this Prophet said, nor will I decrease. And then I close with the response of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who said in sadaqah, aflah, aflaha in sadaqah, he will succeed if he is truthful. What does that mean? All I have to do is pass. What is the pass? Buni al-islamu ala khams. Islam is built on 5 basic principles. Do the foundation first. Do the fundamentals first. And then, if you want a higher grade, you want extra credit, go do the extra credit. But do the first basic first. In the hadadina yusra. Verily, this religion is easy. Wa yasiru wa la tu'asiru. Make things easy and do not make things difficult. Yuridu Allah bikum yusra wa la yuridu bikum usra. Allah desires for you ease. He doesn't desire for you difficulty. Walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala ali Muhammad wa ala azwaji Muhammad wa ala dhurriyati Muhammad wa sallim taslimin kathira. ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم ربنا لا تؤاخذنا إن نسينا أطعنا ربنا ولا تحمل علينا إصرا كما حملت على الذين من قبلنا ربنا لا تحملنا ما لا طاقة لنا به واعف عنا واغفر لنا وارحمنا أنت مولانا فانصرنا على القوم الكافرين الحمد لله رب العالمين.
الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح قد قامت الصلاة قد قامت الصلاة الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
Brothers and sisters, let us keep our lines straight all throughout the salat. We have brothers and sisters all over the masjid, wherever you are, in the back, to our right, to our left, in the back, please make sure our lines are straight, inshallah. Keep them straight all throughout. Ibrahim? Yes. Shakir, can you see that? It looks good for you. Okay, brothers? Tight. In the back there? All the way? Okay?